I think there's things that we want to do for ourselves that just involve ourselves, like, or just like things that don't involve our kids, right? And then there's parts of your life where you get to say, okay, right? Like, it's not going to be everything maybe I once saw or once had, but where am I willing to bring them in? Right? What does that look like for you? And for me, that is just like, okay, when I'm home with her, we're going to make coffee together. And it's not always this like super relaxing experience, but it's fun.
Are you raising your family while also feeling like you're still growing up yourself? Do you wonder if you are getting it right? Welcome to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. She's a pediatrician and a mom, and she helps the whole family.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sarah Adams, a board-certified pediatrician, but I'm not your pediatrician. Feel free to use my podcast as helpful information, but in no way do I intend my podcast to replace the advice of your physician. Your physician knows you and is in the best position to provide medical advice.
Welcome back to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. I'm Dr. Sarah Adams, and I'd love to hear from you. If you've ever found yourself wondering, is my child on track for their age? Or why aren't they talking or walking yet? You're not alone. Send me questions that's challenging you the most. You can leave a comment on YouTube or email me directly at growingupwithdr.sarah@gmail.com. I'll read your questions and my answers in an upcoming episode. Today, we're talking about something almost every person struggles with, building habits that actually stick and incorporating them into real life. If you've ever said, I'll start Monday, or felt like you're constantly trying routines that never quite hold, this episode is for you. My guest today is life coach Lauren Manny, who also happens to be my daughter-in-law and the mom of my grandbaby Ava. So this conversation is both professional and personal. We get to see her approach to habits and routines, not just through the lens of coaching, but through the everyday reality of motherhood. Lauren, I'm so glad you're here.
To be back. Thanks for having me.
Lauren, I want to start with something that so many of us can relate to, and that is restart culture. The idea that we're always beginning again and usually from scratch. Can you give an example of restart culture and kind of walk us through what's really happening when we keep saying, I'll start Monday?
Sure. I think there is really good intention behind the restart culture, right? Like, we're motivated. We want to be doing the things. But I believe what is happening is that we're trying to do an overhaul of our life. Say every Monday, we're trying to make it perfect and make it nice in a way that is not sustainable, in a way that is not doable for our current circumstances. And so we might start off strong, but by Tuesday evening, Wednesday, we have puttered out because it is hard to live our life amongst our overhaul. And then we think that it's not working and we're not a person who can do this. And so we quit. But then we don't quit long enough because we know we're meant for this. We know that we're going to be good at this, right? We just got to figure it out. And so we start right back up on Monday, kind of using that motivation and that fresh start to get us going again.
Yeah, what I hear you saying is kind of like that all or nothing thinking. I know myself. I'm like, okay, I want to drink 80 ounces of water and I want to get 30 minutes plus of movement and I'm going to journal and I'm going to write gratitude.
All the things.
But what's the harm in all that all or nothing thinking? You touched on it a little bit already.
Well, it's like it all sounds nice, but then none of it gets done, right? Like, we want to find something that can stick. So it's like it's nice to think that we could do all these things starting Monday and maybe Tuesday. But then if we actually look at the rest of the week or like the weeks thereafter, how much is actually getting done? It's usually little to nothing because we've burnt ourselves out or then we think that we just can't do it.
And I know myself, I struggle with perfectionism. And sometimes I think it's a disguise for discipline. What do you think is meant by that?
What I hear is, you know, we think that if we are perfect, it's going to work. But I think we need to go in and actually look at what perfection is for us and like the definition that we hold and what's actually going to be able to work in our lives. And I think that there is a sneaky belief that if it's perfect, it works. But like, we have to look at, in our attempts to be perfect, how long does it actually work?
Exactly. And from a pediatric standpoint, I think this is really important. When we're constantly hard on ourselves, our bodies stay in that stress mode. And children are deeply connected to our emotional tone. They feel when mm-hmm. we're tense, and they feel when we're grounded. Yeah. And so that regulation is really contagious.
I love regulating. I swear it's a superpower. Like, we're in our Sesame Street era, and Cookie Monster always says, like, remodulating. And I'm just like, yeah, we got to, like, find a way to, like, come back to center. Because everywhere we go, there we are, like, in interactions with our kids, how we're setting up our day, at work, like, everything.
I agree. And as we talk about this, viewers are actually seeing a clip of you walking on the treadmill at 9 p.m. Not ideal timing, not a perfect routine, but it's consistent.
Yes.
What does that represent in a contrast to that restart culture?
So I just my mission in life is to promote possibility, right? Like personally and professionally. And I know that there are stories that are held that, like, when you have kids, like, your needs go out the window, or that, you know, you don't have time for yourself. And what I have found is that, like, you got to create consistency amongst the inconsistencies. So I'm currently training for the LA Marathon, and I would love to tell you that every day I get up and I just, like, have a checklist and it all gets checked off in, like, this orderly fashion with no stress and no distractions. But that is not the case. Right. So it's like I have all these roles that I want to be great at, like motherhood and owning a business, amongst other things. Right. But I also have personal goals. And so I have to be willing to say it's not going to look neat or perfect, but it is going to get done. Right. And if I need it to be perfect, I am likely not going to do it because I'm not working out at the same time every day. Right. Like that in particular was a day where my needs in terms of training and working out were moved to the end of the day, right? And it's like, no, I if I could, you know, draw it up, I wouldn't be doing it at 9, right? But it's like, I do want to be doing it. And so the 9 is the best option that I have. And therefore, I got in my workout that day as well. So it might not be pretty, but it was consistent.
I would imagine that sticking with what your plans are, whether it's 9 a.m. or 9 p.m., helps if you create sustainable routines. So let's talk mm-hmm. about routines. From a pediatric perspective, we know kids thrive on predictability, but so many women feel like they can't maintain routines themselves. Why do routines break down even when the intention is good?
Yes. Well, it's interesting, like, to hear you say that kids thrive off routines. I swear adults do too, because, like, I know that I do and a lot of my clients do. But when I think about, like, why did they break down, I think it tends to kind of go into that, like, all or nothing mentality, right? Like, I've got to do it all or it doesn't count. Right. Or there's like a sense of, like, I have to overhaul my life in order to feel better. And if I don't overhaul, right, like, change it all, do all the most extreme things, then it's not going to make a difference. And then I think that we forget about, like, our current life, and we take routines and ways of being and doing from the past, and we try to shove, like, that round peg in the square hole. And it's like, well, maybe I don't have a couple hours in the morning, or maybe I don't enjoy these kinds of, like, exercises or diets anymore, or whatever it might be. Like, I think we go automatic when it's really a place to go incredibly conscious at first and then make it automatic. Like, decide consciously what our routines are going to look like.
When parents build sustainable routines and steady their own nervous systems, it directly shapes the emotional climate of the home. I love hearing from you, our listeners. So please comment below and share the routine, tip, or hack that works best for you. And don't forget to like this video and subscribe to the channel so it helps other parents like you find it. And you bring up a really good point. How do you help women build habits that actually fit into this season of life they're in, instead of trying to force a routine from a different chapter of life?
I think first off, you got to go in and ask the most basic question of all time, but it's the most important question, is like, what do you really want right now? Right? What do you need in this area, in this phase of life? And what's the most doable way to get that going for you? Right. And I will tell you, you know, if it's like being healthier, working out more, you got to first find out what your starting point is. Because it's like, if we're not moving at all, it's so easy to be like, I'm going to work out 5 days a week. And there is nothing sexy about saying, I'm going to work out 5 days a week, where you end up at zero. But it sounds good.
Yes, I find myself in that.
Absolutely. Right? It sounds good. It sounds like this is what people are saying. This is a nice check mark every day. But it's like, let's build into that, right? Like, really got to know and be honest with yourself, right? And allow yourself to grow.
And I, you know, I'm reflecting and I'm just being vulnerable and honest in this conversation.
Yeah.
I started a habit tracker and it was interesting. I looked at it and the first 2 weeks I'm like, check, 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 check. And then all of a sudden the last like 2 weeks, there were like no checks. And then when I went back to look at it, when I thought, okay, February, now I'm going to go ahead and start this habit tracker again. And I looked at January and I thought, wow, I really came out guns blazing. But then I fell off. And I agree. I think it was that I really wasn't choosing the right movement, the right routines, that whatever you want to call it, that didn't fit into where my life is right now.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's helpful to slow it down too, because and like actually taking inventory of every day or every week and looking at what's working for me. What am I liking? What am I not liking before like the train goes off the tracks, right? Because then it just feels like, oh, I'm just not a person that can do it, when really maybe something else was happening in life. Maybe you don't even enjoy the things that you said you wanted to do, which is all good information. We just have to like do something with that information then. Instead of letting it kind of spiral into the story of who we are and who we're not.
Tell me what you think about planning around energy versus just time. What does that shift actually look like practically? Like, I love that even though it was hard for you to get your run in, you managed a way to do it, and not because of the energy that you had, because of the plan that you made and you executed it, versus, oh, I didn't get it done at such and such time, so it's just not going to happen.
Well, I first learned this when Ava was a newborn, and I just was like, okay, I want to be able to. I remember trying to leave the house the first time, and it was such an experience, and it took so long. And I was like, oh my gosh, like all this window of time went by. And I remember I had to like settle myself down and be like, look, these are the things that we're going to do. Right. And I learned kind of from like getting burned from having my expectations a little bit too high. I said, at this point in this phase of life, we're going to get in a coffee. We're going to journal. And I can't even remember what the other thing was, but I just set like an overall day expectation, knowing that there's a lot of unpredictability. I was new at this and whatnot. So it was like, I don't have set times. No one's going to come in and see me doing these perfectly groomed routines. But like, I knew that there was consistency within the inconsistency. And I knew that because I decided on it and I like put focus on it. Like I put my finger on it, right? Like I had to decide. And so when I think about like working out at night, right? Like, oh yeah, it would have been great if I had done it earlier. But the only thing that makes it not happen at all is if I make that mean that that was a failure. When you have to decide and define what your success is going to look like, I don't care that I'm a person working out at 9 p.m. Maybe people wouldn't recommend it, but it's what I choose to do. And I'm like, I'm going to show up and I'm going to get this workout in, because that's what I don't regret.
It's so true. I know. I even saw that video and I thought to myself, I'm going to go down into the gym. So I think that sometimes, even though you're building routine, it can look messy, and that's okay.
Oh, yes.
And it's so interesting, because in pediatrics, you talked about predictability and routine and how it helps adults, and it regulates children as well and reduces our stress response, right? It lowers anxiety, if it builds safety. And as moms, I feel like we're constantly in survival mode sometimes. And sustaining that rhythm can be really, really hard. I love the video of you making coffee with Ava. And that routine is relational, not rigid, like we're talking about. How can moms rethink routines to include their children instead of feeling constantly interrupted by them?
Yes. You know, that's such a great question. I think there's things that we want to do for ourselves that just involve ourselves, like, or just like things that don't involve our kids. Right. And then there's parts of your life where you get to say, OK, right. Like, it's not going to be everything maybe I once saw or once had, but where am I willing to bring them in? right? What does that look like for you? And for me, that is just like, okay, when I'm home with her, we're going to make coffee together. And it's not always this like super relaxing experience, but it's fun, right? So you have to decide like and set your expectations. Like, I'm not just sitting down and like kicking my feet up, right? We're really working this espresso machine together. She looks forward to it. We even do like, we have like the app for Italian, and she knows that like we make our coffee and we learn Italian. And it's like our little fun thing. And the attention span to it, maybe a couple minutes. It's not perfect, but it's like she knows we do it together and I know we do it together and I look forward to it too. Right? Instead of being like, I'm going to go make a pretty coffee and I'm going to go read and meditate while I do this. It's like, this is mine and Ava's time. It's going to be a little chaotic. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm just leaning into it. So it's like, look at your life. Like, where are the parts that you want to involve your kids willingly, knowing that it's not going to be super pretty, super organized all the time, right? Like, I also like to cook with her. And I just know, I'm like, it's going to take a little bit longer, but it's way more fun to bring her in than trying to like play and cook. I'm like, let's just do it together. And she's into it. Right. So I'm like, those are the parts where I'm willing to kind of make it work. But you got to find what works for you.
That's right. I know when I've watched Ava in the past and I was thinking about like, OK, how am I going to get the stretch in or even some weightlifting? And she came into the room with me and just had a blast. We both got on our mat. And like you said, it wasn't like perfect. She kept wanting to switch mats with me, which was adorable. But you know what? We got it done and we both had fun. And I felt like, okay, I could check that off my
list.
And that's another point. Yeah, that's another point. You know, we talked about perfection. We've talked about things that are messy. We've talked about, you know, all or nothing. And I know one thing that I'm dealing with, and I imagine a lot of women out there, is that, again, kind of goes back to season of life. Like I wish I could do what I used to be able to do. But instead of just sitting here wishing, oh, I wish I could run 3 miles, why don't I go and walk and work up to 3 miles again? And what ends up happening is I have to accept that what I'm capable of right now is enough versus doing nothing.
Spot on. Or you got to let it be enough so that it could become more if that's what you want. But anytime you keep like living in the world of like, this isn't enough, what happens from that place is like you stop doing it altogether.
Exactly.
Which like consciously we could see it's like, oh, that's not going to get me any closer. But in the moment, it just feels like, well, I'm not where I want to be. But it's like, wait, this is like you're in process.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's make this practical. If there's a mom or woman listening right now who wants to build one habit that sticks, where should she begin?
By asking yourself what that is. I don't want you to go to Instagram. I don't want you to go look out anywhere else. I want you to decide, what do you feel like you need right now? What is the one thing that you've been thinking about? Right? What is the one habit that you feel like would make such a difference in your life? Because usually you find that one and it's like a domino effect for the others. And then I want you to get honest about yourself at your starting point. Because this is not about judgment. This is not about criticism. This is just about curiosity so that you can make this a real thing. Right? And then I want you to go put it into practice. Like, schedule it. Learn from it. I call it the life lab. That's my thing. I'm like, hey, we're going to go into our life lab and we're going to decide on a couple things. And then we're going to be a scientist. We're going to say what worked, what didn't, and what am I going to do differently going forward? Because it's like, this is new in a way. And we've got to go get curious instead of just shutting down if it doesn't happen. It's like, no, let's build into it. So ask yourself what you want.
And
find your starting point and then make a, I don't love the word realistic, but like a realistic goal, but one that's going to stretch you. So if your starting point's zero, don't make it 7 days a week, right? Almost let yourself like kind of roll your eyes at it, that it's almost so easy. Build consistency with that and then build on to it.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is start smaller than you think, because starting small can be powerful, and then build from there and then celebrate what you did too.
Yes. That's a part of the life lab too, is like actually acknowledge your wins, because it's really easy then all of a sudden that we're doing these things, we're like, oh yeah, that's no big deal. But like at one point, this was a big deal. And it's really helpful to track your growth because your brain doesn't want to focus on that. It just wants to focus on the gaps and like where you're not and who you're not yet. But like really what you're doing is building that person.
Yes. And I think about the term identity-based habits and shifting from I'm trying to work out to I'm someone who moves my body. How do you feel that changes follow through?
I mean, like you always like to assimilate to who you believe you are. Right. So even how you speak about yourself, how you like the things you actually go do, it's like, what does the healthy person do? What does the routine version of you do? What is the well-regulated version of you do? Right. Like really getting curious of like, if I didn't think I wasn't this person, what would I be doing? And I also think it's helpful to not latch on to somebody's day 956 compared to your day one. Because we're like, well, what are they doing?
Yes.
They're running how far and how long and working out how many days? If nothing else, get curious to where they started and then get back in your lane.
Yes. Yes. And I want to shift back to that image of you making coffee with Ava. And I'll explain why for a second. You mentioned that you make coffee with Ava and then you do Italian. And that's like habit stacking. Explain what habit stacking is in a way that feels doable as a woman, as a parent, as a mom.
Yeah. And how I look at habit stacking is like if when I do one thing, it automatically triggers another thing, right? And like what another thing I do that just came to mind is like if I get up and my feet hit the floor, like I'm chugging water. Right. So it's like I'm getting out of bed with my alarm and I'm chugging water because it's like going to help wake me up more. Right. And it just makes things easier. Like it kind of gets you in the flow. Right. So it's like, how do you make things easy? Like there's no award for the struggle. I've learned that. Right. And if you can make it easier on yourself, it makes it more doable to follow through.
Yeah. So it's like I get out of bed every day. So now I'm stacking another habit with getting out of bed. I'm going to drink water, the coffee, and we're going to learn Italian. And what I love about that, I'm thinking as you're talking that as a, on a developmental perspective, kids learn executive functioning, planning, consistency, follow through by watching it modeled. Do you think those quiet, repeated habits teach more than just big dramatic resets?
Oh, yes. Yes, because I think what a skill to show somebody, because it is a skill to have that like my day didn't go as planned, I can pivot, right? I can recenter myself. I can refocus. I can redecide because life isn't perfect. And I think that's like teaching a life skill. Like, hey, you know, I have goals too. This went off track. How am I going to get back to it? Like what I've noticed, they're always watching, you know, and I'm like, you're teaching them how to be and who to be and what to prioritize in a way. You know, like when I go down to the gym, like if she's still awake, like I will literally ask Gabe, I'm like, come visit me. But I'm doing that because I want her to see like, oh, mom works out. Mom takes care of herself. And now she's all into running. And I was like, that was never my goal, but that's so cool. Like, I love that, you know? And it's just if I didn't have a sitter, like we would be like upstairs and like let's put on some Pilates. And it was like not a very effective workout, but it did get done and she had fun. And she knows now that like we do Pilates. Like it's just a way to just like you teach them like what's important in a way.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that helps them in the long run as well. I've heard Ava say, I'm running like mommy, which is super cute.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, mindset is everything. And a lot of moms say they're waiting for lifestyle change until they feel motivated. Let's talk about motivation because it can be unpredictable and waves of motivation can be so unreliable, I have to say. So if motivation isn't reliable, what kind of thinking actually supports consistency?
Okay, let's just talk about it for a second. Motivation is amazing. And it is an amazing feeling to have and to harness and to create. It is not required to make progress. It is a feeling that comes from a way of thinking, right? And so if we're not motivated, that's not a problem. I believe that like if you want to get something done, right? There's a lot of other feelings that could help you, like calm and focused and dedicated. And you know, sometimes you just got to go apathetic. I'm like, I might not want to do this. This is what I said I was going to do, right? I don't need motivation. And what's interestingly enough is like, once you get started, you usually feel more motivated, right? But like waiting on motivation, I mean, you will then be like up and down, up and down.
Yeah, it's true.
Which though, I do want to add, like, if you really require the feeling of motivation, think about thoughts that motivate you. Think about your end goal. Think about the pain of not having the things that you want, right? Or the pleasure of like living in that life, right? Like you can create motivation, but if it isn't found on like a random Tuesday morning, that is no problem.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes when we keep a small promise to ourselves repeatedly, I'm wondering, can that build self-trust?
I think that builds a whole deeper relationship with yourself that involves self-trust. Like you learn how to have your own back. Like having, you know, this season of life for me just really made me double down on myself. Because you know what? Nobody is going to come in and do the things that you want to do for you. Nobody can. Everyone else is also busy. Like you got to be willing to draw the line in the sand and say, like, this is what I need. Right. And sometimes you find out what you need by getting a little burned, by burning out. And it's like, all right, I'm going to choose to do it differently and just trusting myself that I'm going to figure it out.
This is where the nervous system science fits in beautifully. It's interesting because self-trust in adults creates emotional steadiness in the home. And emotional steadiness is what allows children to feel secure.
That makes so much sense. It's like certainty. Like my person has got me. Like they're going to figure it out, even if they don't know.
Yes. And resilience.
Yes.
Right? I'm going to talk about planning because I know it can reduce mental overwhelm over the course of the week. And it's such a tangible part of your work. And I know listeners will love this. Walk us through your weekly setup process step by step.
Okay. So what I do a couple of things. One, first, it's like, let's find out like how much help we have this week. So I guess let me back up. Like I have an always dynamic changing schedule. I don't have anything that's super consistent. I've always lived like that and I continue to live like that and I like it, but it also poses its challenges. So for me, it's really important to look at week by week and honestly day by day. It's like, what is the help I have this week? Kind of let me put in like my foundation, right? And then from there, it's like, okay, based on the help that I have, what am I going to do with that time? Right? What is going to get done? And then in the other days, it's like, okay, when I don't have help, these are my days with Ava. And then it's like, I'm going to go think about how do I want to spend those days? Right? And like, I want to be the over the top, celebrates the holidays, like does the things, right? And I look at like, what's coming down the pipeline? What are the things that I need to schedule? What are the things I want to plan out? Right? And I'm like really thinking about all of this and I'm writing it down. Okay, so like, let me say that again. Like I'm looking at like they're basically like the foundation, like the markers of like, these are like my tried and trues. This is the help I have. This is how I'm now going to organize my tasks, right? And then I say, okay, I look at the days that I have time to do X, Y, and Z in my business. What's going to get done? When do I talk to my clients, right? Or do I need to communicate with Gabe on something of like this needs to change? Right. I'm just like looking at the week in its entirety. I'm looking at the days I have with Ava. How do I want to spend it? Is there anything I want to do different that day? Or is it just going to be like another ordinary day? But for me, in order to stay out of overwhelm, I have to plan ahead. Right. I already have enough thinking. I don't want to be like trying to do everything the night before because that's just going to like result in a crash and burn. But then in a dynamic schedule, be willing to look at the day again. That follow, like go day by day by day. Like, hey, I said I have this. Is this still good? Hey, does this still work? Hey, will you be here at this time? Like checking in with your people, checking in with your support, checking in with yourself. Like, can I still do this? Does this still work for me based on the week that I've had or what popped up on my schedule?
And it sounds like it's also about just taking a moment to plan and remind yourself that your routine, your plan, your habits aren't about control or perfection. They're about safety, mm-hmm. trust, and sustainability.
Absolutely. You know, I also like to look at my month too, right? Because
okay.
I just feel like I need a lot of time. Like it's, I wish I could just be somebody that like does things.
Don't we all?
And you know what? I'm just like, I've been burned. Like, this is how I learned. Like, put enough pain on something. I'm like, I'm going to change this. You know, there were so many times where I needed like tights for Ava for something. And I was like, oh, shoot, that's this weekend and it's Thursday. Can Amazon even get me that this fast? Like one of those things. And I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. So I will look at the calendar in its entirety. And I do this multiple times a month. I'm like, what's happening in this month? What do we need? Are there any gifts for people's parties? Any appetizers? I already promised I was going to be bringing, right? Go in the store last minute. I've been burned with these things, right? I'm like, how can I help myself here? Right? And it's like, okay, I know I have time on this day. We're doing these errands. I'm adding this in. So I'm really taking like an overview look at it. And then I'm going week by week, day by day. What's on my schedule? Does this still work? Have I talked to all things and all people that are in on this plan? Right. And I'm just really looking at myself like I am the CEO of my life, of this schedule, and I can handle what's coming down the pipeline because I'm designing it and I can change it if I need to.
Lauren, that's amazing. And I know I am personally proud of you. I want to know, where can listeners connect with you and learn more about your work?
You can find me on Instagram at LoNanny. That's LoNanni. Or you can go to my website, LaurenNanny.com. I've got all the good stuff there, too. But I'd love to chat with you in the DMs on social. So please come on and say hi.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here.
Thank you
for modeling. Yeah, modeling what real life consistency actually looks like.
Oh, it's messy, but it's worth it.
It is worth it. And to everyone listening, remember this. You don't need a fresh start. You need a sustainable rhythm. Thanks for listening to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. And let's grow up together.
Produced by Autovita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.